One of the reasons I'm so happy that we wrote together is because you have a pretty lengthy background in studying quantum mechanics.
Yes.
And physics in general. And it was actually false theories of quantum mechanics, or false interpretations, I should say, that led me deeper into the New Age movement. For
Right.
example, in What the Bleep Do We Know, something that New Age teachers love to pounce on is the double slit experiment,
Yes.
where they will draw some correlation between human consciousness and the behavior of some subatomic particles, and say, therefore, they are both part of the same unified field, and this field must have the property of consciousness to it. So, what is your background, and what got you into quantum mechanics in the first place? And what do you personally think of popular New Age teachings about quantum mechanics, such as those in What the Bleep Do We Know?
Sure. Well, my wife got me into it, Christina, when we were dating. She always had a really big interest in science, as did I. But early on in my life, I stayed away from quantum physics because I thought, well, you got to be a genius to even be able to understand any of that stuff. And, I'll just be confused, which isn't true. There are scientists and physicists that'll make the general population feel that way, especially when they try to explain things and it's like they're talking a different language. But the actual concepts, anybody can understand them. And, if we think about it logically, if this is God's creation and he wants to teach us things through that, sometimes he'll put imprints of his nature in nature, then it should be understandable. We should be able to understand some of it, even if we don't know everything. But Christina opened me up to quantum physics. We were totally dirt poor. We had like no money to ever go out on any dates or do anything like that. So we would stay at home and just watch like free science specials on PBS and, like free access channels like that. And when they talked about quantum physics, we would have really intense conversations about how that might play a part in the Bible. Now, I was still in New Age when we first started doing that. Because I was brought up in Christianity, I still could kind of talk about the Bible. I just had really messed up interpretations of it.
Right.
She was just flat out a Christian. She never bought into the New Age stuff. But she put up with it with me because she understood that there was going to come a day where I was going to knock it off and stop doing it. I didn't know that, but she's known me pretty well with that kind of stuff. So she got me into it. And then when I started watching those programs, I realized, this stuff really isn't that complicated. It's just they speak a different language than we do. Also, they conflate observation and interpretation. Physicists do this a lot. So
Right.
they'll tell you what the experiment does. Let's say the double slit experiment. You brought that up, and it's a perfect example. So the double slit experiment, basically, for those not familiar, it shows that, this is the interpretation that's generally accepted by most physicists, is that it shows that particles can act either as a particle or as a wave, depending on the conditions. Now, what is causing that change? No one really knows. Some will go as far as to say it's because the experiment is being observed. That's when it acts like a particle. But when it's not being observed, then it acts as a wave. And that might be or might not be what's going on. Consciousness might have a quantum effect. We don't really know that for sure. We can't explore the quantum world well enough to know. If consciousness does have a quantum effect, it's very minimal, and you can't utilize that in any normal size point in life. You can't will yourself more money or something like that, prosperity gospel and things like that will teach. But another interpretation, and this one, at least for the double slit experiment, this is what I think is going on here. I think that when you set up a detector, you're actually adding a whole lot of particles into the experiment. And a particle is basically a fluctuation in a quantum field. That's like all it is. So if you're adding all these fluctuations and all these fields that are existing at the same point, that obviously would change the experiment.
Right.
I mean, it would be the same as if you lightly toss a ping pong ball and it does one thing. But then it's raining out, and then you do the same thing, and you notice, hey, it falls faster when it's raining out. That's weird. How does it know that it's raining? It's like, well, the ping pong ball doesn't know it's raining. The rain is just doing it to it. It could be something like that. That's what I think with the double slit experiment. There are other experiments like the quantum eraser that sort of shows that it might actually have something to do with observation, because that one doesn't add all these extra particles. It's all contained in one experiment. So it's still up in the air. But the biggest thing is that New Agers will take that question, that really good question of what's causing this to happen, and then they will interpret it into their own religion, into their own belief system, and say, well, it's because you're divine and you're accessing the conscious field, you know, without realizing, which, how does that work? You know, you have consciousness, but you don't realize that you're accessing it. And also the consciousness field itself is not conscious. It's just wrought with all of these paradoxes.
Right. How can a field of consciousness have the property of consciousness without being conscious?
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
And ultimately it's because they know that if it was conscious, and if it did create us or whatever, then we would be held accountable to it. You know, we would have to know, and it wouldn't be an it at that point. It would be a he or she or, you know, whatever. But we would be accountable to this conscious being because we're us and he would be he. So they don't want that. They don't want to be accountable to anything like that, because what if it wants something that they don't want, like the God of the Bible, you know?
Right.
What if God tells us that we're not supposed to look upon a woman with lust, otherwise we're, you know, cheating on our wives in our heart, just all this stuff. That's what they're trying to escape from.
Right, and I think that's a big motive for why they will misinterpret and be so willing to digest, you know, really poor interpretations of quantum mechanics, is because they are looking to preserve a certain lifestyle that they have. And you will notice in conversations with people in the New Age movement, we're not, you know, harping on people who, you know, are where we once were, but they divert the conversation the minute you suggest, you know, what you're calling, you know, Brahman. Mm-hmm. What if we just ascribe the property of personhood to this omnipresent divine mind,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, the Bible might even specifically attribute the Father as being a divine mind. Jesus says that, you know, God is spirit. Mm-hmm. It seems like some argument from natural theology might help us indicate that God precisely is a disembodied divine mind. You know, what if we just describe personhood to the Creator instead of insisting that he's impersonal?
Yeah.
And the minute you go from an it to a he, that's when everything changes. And we have a whole chapter in the book on how the New Age movement abuses this and uses this to get their theology and define God in this Eastern sort of quantum way.
Right.
Right. We address that. We show, you know, why you can't define God in this way, how scientific evidence prohibits you from defining God in such a way. So definitely check that out in our book. You mentioned previously in a conversation we've had about the cortical field.
Yes.
What is the cortical field? You mentioned in the book. What is that, and what are your thoughts on consciousness having its foundation in the quantum world in some way?
To me, this is one of the most exciting and coolest questions in quantum physics, and this is why I love quantum physics so much. I don't always like the interpretations that are put on it, but I do like this. Physicists will easily admit that they have no idea what consciousness is. They have no way to describe it scientifically, and because of that, they're really curious about it, and they're thinking of theories and stuff. So one theory that I actually kind of like, this, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it makes sense if it is, that consciousness might actually be an interaction with a quantum field. Now, people watching might say, well, you just said all this New Age stuff is garbage. Why are you saying that? And it's because physics has proven, I mean, it's just a done deal. Physics has proven that reality is made up of fluctuations in quantum fields. That's what particles are. Particles aren't these little solid things that we tend to think of. They're actual just energy vibrations in a field. And every fundamental particle, like photons or electrons, they have their own field. So there's an electron field, there's an up quark field, you know, there's all these fields, and that's what reality is. And so that's really cool. Well, it was discovered in 2012 that mass, and they did this when they found the Higgs boson at CERN. The Higgs boson is a fundamental particle, so that means there's a Higgs field, and mass is really just an interaction with the Higgs field. We usually think mass is like substance, but it's not. You could think of it almost like electric charge or magnetic field. It's almost like that, but that interaction is mass. So that's how you can have things with negative mass. You know, it's like you can have positive and negative charge. It's the same idea. But that's also how photons, they don't interact at all with the Higgs field. That's why photons, the particle of light, are massless.
If they had interacted with the Higgs field, they would have mass.
They would, yeah. They would have mass to it. So physicists are wondering, what if consciousness is like that? What if human consciousness is, and I guess that you would attribute that to animals in some sense, not like us, because they're not exactly self-aware the way we are. But what if consciousness is really just an interaction with a field? So they hypothetically call that the cortical field, and there's nothing spiritual or weird about it. It has nothing to do with the spirit or the soul. It has nothing to do with that. It's just physical consciousness. The idea is that we might have these particles called corticons in our brains. And when they interact with this field called the cortical field, then that interaction is consciousness, just like the interaction with the Higgs field is mass. So they're thinking maybe that might be. And the reason that that's important is because this could be tested. I mean, there could be a time where at CERN or some other particle collider that they discover a corticon. If they discover one corticon, then it's a done deal. We know what consciousness is. And of course, the New Agers are going to grab onto that, and they're going to turn it into something it's not. So that's why it's good to get ahead of this thing now. I like that theory. Again, it has nothing to do with spirit or soul. It has nothing to do with our inner who we are in a spiritual sense. It only has to do with how physical consciousness works. But I think that's really interesting.
That is really interesting. So there would be a distinction between a cortical field being one of many different fields,
yes,
in the universe as part of God's design,
yeah,
of the universe. Like, he decided to structure the universe in such a way where you have a bunch of different fields, mm-hmm, and when particles interact with these fields, it creates,
yeah,
different effects.
Yeah, that's all it would be. I mean, and this is what's so ridiculous about, like, New Age. And I don't mean to insult anybody. We wrote this book because we want to pull people out of the New Age. We don't want to insult them and bash them. But if you think about it logically, would you ever worship the gravitational field? You know, would you ever worship the magnetic field or any field? No. So if there is a consciousness field, if there is a cortical field, if we can call it that, why would we want to worship it or follow it or care anything about it beyond, oh, that's really cool, now we know what consciousness is.
Right.
Just like we know what gravity is. You know?
Especially when you combine that with the scientific evidence that, you know, the universe is finely tuned.
Yes.
Or the universe began to exist.
That's right.
Because then that would imply that, you know, these fields themselves, all the particles, all the forces of nature came into being.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you have something transcendent outside of these fields and particles that brought these fields and particles,
that's right,
into being. And so that points us to a transcendent creator.
Mm-hmm.
So even if there was some kind of field, a cortical field of consciousness, for one, it's not the unified field.
No, and right now there's no evidence to suggest there is a unified field. But if there is, all it would mean is what we see as separate fields. They're just different. They're just different iterations of one thing. So, for example, and we see this in particles all the time. It's not really that crazy of a thing, and it's not a spiritual thing. We see this in particles. Like, an atom is made out of a lot of different particles. You have neutrons, protons, electrons, and then you have various forces and stuff interacting there. And then deep in there, you have quarks and gluons, and you have different types of quarks. You know, so it's all made. But you have one thing that's called an atom. But in that atom are all these other things that spring forth. There might be a fundamental field. You know, there might be a unified. I mean, Einstein was searching for a unified field theory, and that's why. You know, is it possible that all these particles that we see really and fields really just come from the same thing that we don't understand yet? Maybe, but if so, it doesn't mean that it's a god or that it's conscious. It would just be another physical thing. It would be like a law of nature. You know, it'd be a physical, right, property of the, right, universe that we live,
exactly,
in.
Exactly. And why worship a physical property when
exactly
the property is not even aware of itself as being a property?
Yeah,
it's just like part of God's design.
That's what it is. Yeah.
It's actually straight out of Romans 1.
Yep.
Worshiping the creation rather than the creator.
Yeah.
Another thing that, you know, you touch on in our book and in your other book here, I'm gonna hold this up again,
sure,
Unraveling the Multiverse. This is gonna be an extremely interesting read. So thank you for giving me a copy.
Yeah, absolutely. don't let me forget to sign it for you.
Yeah. So the